T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons on The Score.
I mean, the way he pitched, the way Darvish pitched the second half of this year, any number would be a bargain. I mean, it's hard to pitch better than he did, and I think that's where our focus is he's in such a great place mentally and physically right now. He was dominant. He wants to go do that over the course of many years as a Chicago Cub, and he's an important guy for us. But yeah, certainly the way the starting pitching market has moved, and as quickly as it's moved, you know, you couldn't get a guy like Yu Darvish on that kind of number now, let alone with what's left on his deal. So yeah, it's certainly, you know, you want more contracts that have surplus value than the other way around, and you know, he's a real asset for us.
Yu Darvish, that's a whole nother subject.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Voice of Theo Epstein and Tom Theriault. They're talking about Yu Darvish, the whole other story, that was great over his last 14 games a season ago. Welcome back in, McNeil and Parkin Show this afternoon. Danny Mac here as always. I'm here in for Danny Parkins. It's Nick Shepkowski.
Yeah, I can't think of a guy who didn't enjoy seeing Yu Darvish turn it around last year more than the man who paid him all that money, Theo Epstein. And with reason, you go into 2020 feeling good about Yu Darvish. To me, he is decidedly their best starter, their best bet going forward. I'm not talking about history here. John Lester is nearing the end of the line, and I hope I'm wrong. If Shep is correct and they get 27 starts out of Lester this year, I think that's a tremendous accomplishment. Last year, Darvish started 31 games. His whip easily was the best in the Cubs on the Cubs staff, at least the starting staff. Brandon Kinsler was a little bit better, but for the starter, 1.097 was his whip last year. His earned run average, not great, just a tick under 4. For those of you curious about a record, it was 6-8, not great. He gave up a lot of home runs last year, but his strikeout numbers came up, and he was by, about 60-ish, 65-ish, easily their best strikeout pitcher. He whiffed 229 batters last year while walking only 56.
Yeah, I know the Cubs were frustrating down this stretch, and maybe you stopped paying attention a little bit. In his last 3 starts of the year, he became the first ever Cubs pitcher to strike out 12 or more in 3 straight games. Tale of 2 seasons for him. I know the frustrations that were there at the start of last season of, all right, finally get healthy this year. It's a big year for Darvish and big year for that contract, and he was not good. He was not what you pay him to be the first half of the season, which speaks to that. 97 innings pitched pre-All-Star break last year, 49 walks. After the All-Star break last year, 81 and two-thirds innings pitched, just 7 walks in that time. The guy found his control, and when he found his control, and with the 7, 8, 9, however many pitches that he's able to throw that he has in his arsenal, he was lights out, and that's what he absolutely needs to be, because when it's after him, and trust me, when you've only seen 2 good months out of a guy that's been here for 2 years, I'm still buyer beware on my Darvish stock.
Shep, it was more than 2 months.
It was the second half of the year. Post-All-Star break was when it all turned for him, and he was great. I don't want to sell anything short of that,
okay.
But it was two and a half months.
All right, I thought it was a little bit longer than that, but you just read some of the numbers. I thought he made a lot of progress. Look, I think, you know, the pressure that was on him, and it's on everybody wearing a big league uniform, but especially after you sign a contract like that and then fail, and all of the attendant nonsense that came with it that first year, is his psyche fragile? Is he being misunderstood by people when he makes comments that he doesn't feel comfortable yet in a Cubs uniform. He earned the Boo Birds very, very quickly. There were mysterious injuries. There was some whining along the way about umpires and things like that. But I thought, when all that is on you going into a year like last year, and it doesn't start the way you'd like it to in April, and May isn't a whole lot better, for him to be able to turn it around like that, I think that demonstrates a heck of a lot of metal, and I think that metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, by the way, I think that should quell some of the notion that he is fragile psychologically, that he can't take the pressure. He was feeling a lot of pressure. It's like Kirk Cousins was feeling a lot of pressure after 4 weeks this past NFL season, and the fact that he's able to put it together with all of the natives howling for his head, that shows a lot to me. That's impressive.
Yeah, I don't question his second half of last year. It's just kind of the what led up to that point. I mean, you remember the stretch where it was with him? That it wasn't just that, okay, yep, it's a bad outing. It was like there was one little thing that would go wrong, and then the wheels would just come off. In Miami, it was, in his first start, I want to say, in a Cubs uniform, it was, oh, well, it's Miami, and it's humid here, and he just couldn't control it with the humidity. And then it was, he was pitching I don't think he'd allowed a base runner through four or five innings against the Rockies in one of his early starts, and he had a questionable full count pitch go the batter's way instead of his. And it's like he gave up three or four runs by the end of that inning, and he was out of the game by the end of the next inning. And it's just like the littlest of things. There was a balk call against the Braves early on in his career here, and he didn't like that call. Well, it went against him, and it turned into, instead of it just being a runner advancing the base, it turns into a big inning, and you're out of the game all of a sudden. And just that's where I think that it comes from, is that the examples of it, not
those
so much
good examples.
Of,
no,
okay, he's paid a lot of money and he doesn't perform up to the level, he's soft. I don't think that's always the case, and I think that there were examples of it being the case with him. Maybe it just was weird coincidence in all of those, but I thought that there was a pretty decently long track record of it.
All right, let's go over where your level of trust is in the rotation. If it, I don't know, maybe it is Darvish. Doesn't sound like he would be atop your list. Your buyer beware, as you describe it.
I am.
Of the guys who are on the roster right now, expected to be starters, where do you rank them in terms of where you trust them? Do you have Hendricks higher than Darvish?
I think this speaks to where my trust is in the Cubs starting staff right now. Yu Darvish is the guy I trust the most.
And you don't trust him all that
and
much.
And I don't trust him all that much.
So starting pitching, a huge concern for you.
Yeah, is that a problem?
I understand.
Starting pitching, is that something you want to have?
All this worry about the bullpen if your starters are...
Does it matter if your bullpen, you can't close out games if you're down 9-2? Yeah. Like, does that matter a whole heck of a lot?
I hear you.
Who am I supposed to have? I guess Kyle Hendricks would be the first name that comes to mind with that. But I think that Kyle Hendricks has been, he's been fine. Like, he's been good. 2016.
He has been good.
Kyle Hendricks was a Cy Young worthy pitcher in 2016.
Right.
He hasn't sniffed that since.
No, he hasn't. His numbers still were pretty damn solid last year, even though he didn't have some of the, he didn't get to 180 innings last year. 30 starts for Hendricks last year, 177 innings pitched. His whip, 1.130, pretty damn solid. But if you're talking about Darvish and Hendricks being 1-2, and then you've got Lester, the big question mark, and Jose Quintana, there's a lot of pressure on him as well to pick it up. He did not have a good year a year ago.
Well, it's just kind of been waiting on Quintana. You heard so much of, oh, he's this undiscovered gem, and the rest of the baseball doesn't know how good he is because he plays for Sox teams that no one's paying attention to because they're in the cellar. You get him to a winner, and he's going to be great. All right, I'm still waiting for that great performance from Jose Quintana. He's pitched well against the Milwaukee Brewers over the last couple of years. And if it's not the Milwaukee Brewers, there's not a lot on his resume as a Cub that you're thinking, yeah, that's a guy that I really trust to go. You know what? The bullpen was spent last night. I need someone to go get me 6 or 7 innings today. He's not the guy you look at and you're like, yep, I know I'm getting it from you.
Right.
And I don't. I Lester's not that guy at this point anymore either.
No.
But he's been that guy for the vast majority of his contract with the Cubs.
Like, so Shep, let me think here.
I don't feel good about the starting staff.
You just referenced the White Sox in a way that I want to call. I don't want to take us off. I want to get some of these text reactions to it. Anytime we get a text,
defend White Sox Nation,
sponsored by the Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Yeah, save time, shop online, RosenHyundai.com. Yes, you said a White Sox team that nobody paid attention to. You must not have heard the news, but White Sox fans are among the most loyal, most vocal, most passionate fans in baseball. You didn't see the poll that's going around today and how well White Sox fans.
What is this based off of?
I'm looking on the other side of the glass in the Boy Query when I see two proud members of Sox Nation.
Well, here's the thing. I'm so glad you're patronizing us here as White Sox fans without Parkins here to do it. So I'm glad that you're filling that void.
It's a nice little team you got there. You and the Braves, you know, Dodgers don't have a big fan base. It's great.
Little news outlet.
The Cubs do. Yeah, it's great.
Can you go
Vince Scully wasn't that great of an announcer. No, I like Casper more.
It's a game of resources. Dodgers don't have that. Cubs have it all.
What's the poll you were talking about earlier today?
Fox Sports MLB did some stupid bracket where
careful.
Jesus.
They pitted the MLB fan bases up against each other and did head-to-head Twitter polls, Twitter voting, and the White Sox knocked out the Dodgers, the Yankees. Who else?
Any other team, I guess.
Well, in their side of the region. Yeah. But in terms of big fan bases, it's just fun to see that there is some social media support behind a team that previously didn't have much support at all.
So what are they unveiling the statue for the fan for this getting to the championship round?
I'm really surprised that a Cub fan made that joke on the airwaves.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
go attendance next.
Little brother Shep is what we call him now.
Yeah, little brother me. That's
You're
right.
worried.
What surprises
I'm worried
me
about what?
Is a
what
high
am I worried about?
You're worried about the fan base.
About the fan base. You gonna egg my house? What am I worried about the fan base for?
You're worried.
They don't ever get out to the suburbs.
You see Pacoda?
No, Bernstein. I did see Pacoda. I did, and I wasn't going to bring it up. But now that you mention it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be any surprise to anyone that the White Sox fans are right there in the final voting. You go on Twitter, and there's a White Sox fan that's
easier
mad about
to get to your phone on Twitter than it is to get to the red line.
What? What did he say? What?
Sorry, Sam.
Oof. Yikes.
Really?
What
I honestly didn't get the joke. What
surprises me about those results are White Sox fans considering themselves a great fan base. That's what surprises me, because I think a lot of White Sox fans recognize that while it's, you know, certainly not a big group, it's loyal, but there's a lot of dysfunction in White Sox Nation.
I think Sox fans consider themselves a superior fan base because of that. They're such good fans. Like, we're not going to, you know, pay our hard-earned money out to a team that's not going to reciprocate. So that's why they're the best fans. At least I think that's what we believe.
Okay.
But the White Sox sweetheart tax deal, where if they stay under $1.9 million, they pay less taxes, the White Sox are just thinking of Jerry Reinsdorf, not wanting him to pay more taxes, so they keep it under $1.9 million.
Very thoughtful fan base, looking out for ownership and all the bucks for ownership.
What are
Very
you
thoughtful.
What are you eating, Shane?
Nothing right now.
What are you eating? What's in your mouth?
Nothing's. I'm not eating.
It sounded like you had like a mint or something.
I'm still laughing at Shep's flop of a red line joke.
Well, that's okay.
It's not a flop. I'm not going to sit and explain it, but hey. There you go. You win some, you lose some. You keep moving on.
Anyway, vote White Sox.
Vote White Sox.
I guess I'm just as I'm as surprised as the was it sorted by ALNL? No, because the Sox knocked out the Dodgers. Like the Braves being in that as well. Their fan base is the one that doesn't even go to playoff games.
Well, yes, Atlanta.
They didn't sell out playoff games.
I know.
After they moved to Turner Field.
Cubs fans I know went to Atlanta and got off cheaper flight hotel tickets than they would have just for tickets if they would have gone to a game at Wrigley Field in 0-3. The entire package and great seats available on game day. So you were better off going to see the Cubs and Braves in that first round in 0-3 in Atlanta. It would have been cheaper. Crazy. Yeah.
One, two of those three down there?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not with,
Good
with,
trip
the,
to go on.
The rep on Atlanta is, you know, it's got a lot of international business. A lot of people aren't from there, so you don't have the same passion as you do. Plus, it's football country.
I was going to say, isn't the most popular team an hour down the road?
Yes. Isn't that kind of what Atlanta's known for, is that, all right, the Falcons are fun when they're good, the Braves are fun when they're good, but it's all about UGA.
Yeah, I got to read this text. What the hell is Mac talking about? Just because he's a bad fan doesn't mean all Sox fans are bad. Well, I'm the one who can admit to it, but when you listen to it, as long as I have, you get to the point where you think, man, is there anything that makes a high percentage of this fan base content? When the day the World Series championship parade is criticized, that, you know, 15 years ago, that's when you guys say, really? Really?
I don't recall. What was it criticized
that
a thing? For?
We Sox, that.
We Sox fans are working people. We can't take a Friday off. Couldn't you have waited one more day and had it on Saturday?
Is that a John Strawman argument? I don't remember that being a thing. I was working. My boss gave me the day off.
All over our show.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's
all
amazing.
Over our show. On parade day. I was there for parade day, Shep.
For you?
Yeah. The people were calling and pissed off about it.
That's great.
And they were getting support. They came out of the woodwork. They were everywhere.
I mean,
yeah, I wanted to go.
I thought of it again.
I couldn't go.
All the Blago stuff from earlier this week, but that just, this is such a cowtown, man. Cowtown with some very nice and very tall buildings, but the arguments of that.
That's bold for a coal city native.
It may be bold, but it's accurate.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Well, the television this week irritated you with Blagojevich coming back home, and I get it, but
it was treated like
watch TV in smaller cities. When we're in spring training, watch Phoenix television. Their news programs. And
sorry about this blood.
Is Matt Rodewald still out there? Our guy Rody, is he still doing TV in Phoenix?
There's some really bad stuff out there. I don't know if Rodewald does TV in Phoenix.
I think he was. I don't know if he still is.
I was there at the end of December, and I was the coverage on their Happy Talk morning show. I don't remember which network affiliate it was. It doesn't matter, but the Cheez-Its Bowl was being played where the Diamondbacks
were playing.
I gave consideration to going to the Cheez-Its Bowl.
Washington State and Air Force
It was Washington State and Air Force. Yeah, and tickets at the, you know, at midfield, you know, halfway up, really
Nine
good
bucks.
Seats were, yes, they were dirt cheap. Where the semifinal game, which was being played the next night or two nights later, up in Glendale, those tickets for crappy seats were $300-$400. So I gave consideration to going to see that bowl game, but the coverage of it on the morning Happy Talk show was absolute. I said, man, this is Phoenix, Arizona. And I know Phoenix is not a top five market. But still, it was like something you would expect to see on the television stations in Omaha or in Peoria or some really, really
like, is that
small
just the,
towns.
Is that just the local news thing? It doesn't matter if you're Chicago. It doesn't matter if you're Phoenix. It doesn't matter if you're Omaha. It doesn't matter if you're New York. Is it all kind of the same and we see it here, so we just...
I don't know. I can't imagine the Cheez-Its Bowl being something like that on a New York morning talk show. I would hope not anyway.
Let's not besmirch the Cheez-Its Bowl, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not besmirching the bowl
itself.
I won't
have that, yeah.
Right.
Their flavors are classic. Double cheese and sweet and salty.
Patrick just loves Cheez-Its, too. I just wanted to see him. Wanted him to see the world's largest Cheez-Its box, which was resting in one of the end zones. One of my favorite days as a father of a son with autism, and he's verbal, but he doesn't make conversation typically. About 4 or 5 years ago, I remember where we were at in my truck, and he looks at me and he says out of nowhere, "I'm thinking about Cheez-Its." He's not a conversation starter. He has to be. Do you want conversation with him? You have to pull sentences out of his mouth, kind of like the White Sox new catcher. But he says out of nowhere, "I'm thinking about Cheez-Its," and it made my day. It made my month. It was just tremendous. So I wanted him to see the gigantic box of Cheez-Its.
How long do you have to age your box of Cheez-Its before you eat it?
Before they're acceptable? Aging them in the box. You know, I once thought if you took a 12-year-old bottle of scotch and let it sit for 10 years, it was a 22-year-old bottle of scotch. Did you make that same mistake, Shane?
I've never let it age that long. I've never been able to keep a bottle around that long.
I thought the same thing with wine. I remember going to my grandma's for Christmas one year and having a bottle of wine that I had purchased whatever year. and thinking,
Wine does get a benefit if you lay it down for a little while. Wine's different than spirits, I'm pretty sure.
You're supposed to leave it in the back of your car, right? So that's how it's...
Right, tossed and turned. Yeah. Part of the problem was also, I don't know, maybe the wine didn't go bad, but the cork went bad.
Yeah.
And it was probably a bad wine that was all I could afford when I purchased it at the time.
Yeah.
And bad combination when you have part cork in your wine at Christmas dinner.
Cork's never good. It's not good.
I was proud of myself for the effort, though.
Well, they've gone away from a lot of cork. A lot of wineries now are doing, even good wineries are doing twist-offs, and you're seeing a lot of those, I don't know what the material, what would you call that, that fake cork? It's not cork.
Cork.
It's...
How about that?
Okay. Cork. Is the princessa talking to me? What? Cork.
Just in time for Christmas, wrap a piece of cork and put it under the tree.
Cork. I don't know what the hell material you would call that. It's spongy, but it doesn't disintegrate.
So it's more of a sponge than it is a cork?
I don't know what it is, but a lot of you're seeing a lot more of that these days. That's, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Is it on the celebratory cork?
I'll take your word for it. I believe every word you're saying about the cork turning into sponge or
whatever. You want that cork. Here it is.
So I think that's just a long-winded way of saying that, don't have a whole lot of belief in the Cubs starting rotation. And, yeah, go White Sox. Raise that championship banner for,
you can't
for winning
go
the fan fight or whatever it is that they're going on with the Braves.
White Sox pride, man. You'll never jump ship. You're just not cut that way.
Nah, Shep's a good sport. I thought maybe he was souring, getting a little jealous. But then Shep bought a package of baseball cards today and gave me the White Sox cards in it. So thank you, Shep. Got an Eloy, got an Abreu, got a Tim Anderson.
That's right.
Very nice gesture.
And, is this a thing with baseball cards, by the way? Was walking by Target and was like, oh, I've got a couple minutes to kill. And train actually showed up on time, so it feels like it's early. And that's the way when you ride the Metro, that's how it goes. You're like, wow, we're on time. We feel like we're 15 minutes early because it's never the case. So I walk down Madison. I see the Target there. I'm like, I'm going to jump in. It's cold anyway. End up buying a pack of baseball cards. And I sorted all the 5 of the 16 cards I got were White Sox. Like, is that a thing? Is there like
Foxtown,
is it regional baseball cards? Like, is
we
that
literally
planned?
Just talked about the Fox poll. Do you not understand who's king in the league right now?
Apparently the case, but I didn't know baseball card manufacturers were on top of it, Shane. Of 5 of my 16 cards were that of...
Who'd you get?
Got 5 White Sox. I gave them all to her. I split them between
you didn't
Herb
even
and
look at them? You just saw the logo and you discarded your cards?
That's right. I was more interested in keeping the 2 Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s that I got. That's right.
Still buying baseball cards.
I just happened to be walking by and
that's
spent
awesome.
$3
he
on
bought
that
baseball
today.
Cards.
Thank you for not giving me the Manny Machado. I would have been much too triggered.
Yeah, I knew Herb. Well, Herb claims to be a Padres fan. He spent all that
Prior
time
faithful,
in.
Yeah.
That's right. He spent all that time in San Diego. So Herb and his Machado.
If a, guy, if a guy never played for your team, you can't go root for the team with which he signed.
No,
Herb
not,
claims it's
not
because
history,
he lived
no.
there for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yes.
I don't know.
Herb, it was more than 2 weeks.
All right, two months, whichever it was. We have to pause for a timeout. That's Danny Mac. I'm Nick Szepkowski. Danny's here. Shane's here. We're having a bunch of fun, and we'll be doing that until 6 on the score.
Let's remove that stigmatism of therapist.
It has been removed. That stigmatism...
Is that possible?
About talking
I'm not
about
an eye
your
doctor,
problems.
But I play one on TV. No, is that possible? Can you remove us? Can you remove that stigmatism?
Oh, boy.
Can you?
Let's remove that stigmatism of therapist.
When I
Do
first heard the
it?
Voice, I thought it was Danny Parkins. It sounded like Parkins at the beginning of the soundbite. It's Will Perdue earlier today. Sat in with Bernsie right here on the score. Will,
isn't that nice?
Will, it was an enjoyable listen. When I've heard him hosting here, when he guests with us, for me, he's most enjoyable.
Well, he's got thoughts on everything.
He
it's
does.
Not just basketball.
Right.
He comes in, when he comes in studio, when we usually have him for NBA playoffs or the NBA draft, he talks to Tanny and me both about, you see a Sox game last night? Starts breaking down the pitching, breaking down bullpen usage, breaking down why did Renteria do this? Why is he doing that? Why didn't he stick with the starter
you
longer?
You know who he is? Will Perdue is one of the boys. And he doesn't really aspire to be anything other than that. I think he's a salt of the earth type. I think he's just a normal dude.
Yeah, I think it's clear as day that he's just a normal dude.
Yes.
He comes off that way and
doesn't care about any stigmatism attached to normal dudes.
That's right. That's why I like Will Purdue so much. He's a regular
Let's
dude.
Let's remove that stigmatism of therapist.
Didn't that sound like Parkins at the beginning of it to you? It does to me. You have the same timber.
Give Parks-y. Me something.
Parks-y. Yeah. I think I get along well with Will Purdue in that. So both pretty simple men. Doesn't take a whole lot to entertain us.
That new cork I was talking about, by the way, it's called synthetic cork.
Oh, okay. All right. Live and learn. Yeah. Learn something every day.
Yeah. I'm not much of a wine guy, so I don't. But Shep was right, though. Anytime the cork crumbles apart, you've ruined a bottle of wine, unfortunately.
That's right.
Still going to drink it, get the strainer out, and try to get as much cork out of there as you possibly can.
Right. But that's how you ruin Christmas, is you think that you're getting creative with the old wine, and it turns out it's just old bad wine with crumbled cork.
Marquee is debuting tomorrow. We get our first look at the Marquee Network, which they've done a nice job hiring some marquee names.
Look at you.
I don't know how many.
Believe me, you won't be booing about that in a year.
You won't be. I agree with Rick on that. You're going to like the product once you get a taste of it. I don't know how, if it's going to have the kick it felt like it was going to have when they announced it that weekend at the Cubs convention. All of the big names. I think most of us were pretty surprised by some of the bigness of those names, that Lou Piniella was going to be a part of it. And we find out that Mark Grace is now back in good graces with the Cubs. And there are going to be Rick Sutcliffe
today
going to be part of it. I know.
Good graces,
completely
marquee,
unintentional,
talent.
I promise with you. Yeah.
Man, oh, man. I just.
George Clooney.
The part I don't understand
That's the Sutcliffe I want. I want an intoxicated Sutcliffe.
That needs to be an alternate broadcast. Like, you need to be able to have your feed for the actual Len and JD doing the game, and then you need just drunk Rick Sutcliffe wandering off about.
That's for
whoever's up there with the Congress.
That's for 2030 when Sinclair launches Marquee the Ocho. Drunk Rick Sutcliffe doing Cubs games.
That part would be excellent.
Oh, my goodness, man.
I just don't understand what the majority of roles are going to be on that network.
I don't know
You have so many big-time names.
I don't think they're going to have as big of a piece of it as it felt like they would. I think you're going to see those biggest names. I don't know about Piniella, but Danny's got a hand. He can only do a handful. Please, Zach, because of his commitments at MLB Network. So I don't know how much work they're actually going to do. But it's nice that there is some involvement with some players of note. Mark DeRosa, part of
DeRosa
the
DeRosa's awesome. I don't know if you ever watched the MLB Central show during the season on MLB Network. I think that's my equivalent for Good Morning Football.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's good. And he hates the fact that they have to wear suits. We talked to him about that. Suits and ties. They want nothing to do with that as a crew. You want to just look relaxed and sitting around.
Especially if you're sitting on a couch.
Right. I know.
Like, if it's one thing, if you're like,
well, they're in the high back chairs on that show. Aren't they? They're high back chairs.
I thought there was like a high back chair on one, and then there's a couch in another part. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But it just looks really uncomfortable to be wearing a suit in that setting.
So, your first look at the Cubs, your first look at Marquee tomorrow. Something I like to do before the baseball season begins is watch a couple of my favorite baseball movies. And while laid up the last week and change or so, and just kind of stuck in front of a television, haven't done much, done a little bit of walking indoors, but go to the gym, but outside too damn cold to walk lately. Sunday, that'll change. But I'm loading up on movies already. I watched Major League the other day. What I want to ask of you listeners right now is to text us, 67011, one of the roles from a baseball movie you love and recast it with a different actor or actress to make that movie that much better. And I have taken Rene Russo out of Major League, and I've decided to recast her with Meg Ryan. Some of our texters earlier said Michelle Pfeiffer, and I'm thinking that's not bad. That's pretty good. I get it. And Michelle Pfeiffer, for me, would have been great in Susan Sarandon's role in Major League. In Bull Durham as well. Susan Sarandon, still very attractive when Bull Durham was filmed, but clearly the Cougar variety to be interested in a Nuke LaLoosh, and I know that's what they're looking for. She played a baseball
and fastball at the time.
No, still was hitting mid, or, you know, maybe not mid 90s, but still was getting it there pretty quickly. Yeah, but shoot us a text and tell us who you'd like to recast in a baseball movie.
Okay.
They've done some baseball movies, and, you know, I don't
Do you have a specific favorite? I know you're not a Field of Dreams guy. Do Do you have a specific baseball movie that you're like, yep, this is... I know Brian's song you watch every training camp or towards right. the end of every summer. Is right. there the one baseball one for you?
When, yeah, I probably would... I probably call Bull Durham my favorite baseball movie, but it's like picking your favorite band, really. It's, you know, for me, Stones, and then right there, 1A is Led Zeppelin. Major League and Bull Durham are right there. For a long, long time, Pride of the Yankees... I liked very much the Lou Gehrig story. Gary Cooper played, the great Gary Cooper played Lou Gehrig. I thought that was pretty damn solid as well, but it doesn't hold up as well. It hasn't aged as gracefully as some of the other movies. So, you know, and some of them perfectly cast. I don't know who else could have played Lou Brown in Major League. Lou Brown was perfectly cast, and I have no idea what the actor's name is who played him. But
how did Pride of the Yankees not age well? It was made in, what, 1934, somewhere in there?
Maybe a little bit later than that, yeah. It's just, like, I don't know. It's
in black and white? It didn't age well?
I don't mind the black and whiteness of it. No, I still watch Citizen Kane on an annual basis.
I don't understand
basis.
How a movie like that, it doesn't age well.
It just didn't hold up. It doesn't keep its same punch. And also, maybe it's partly because, largely could be, because there were things I've learned about Lou Gehrig that weren't exactly part of the story in Pride of the Yankees, that they movieized it a little bit. And while they did address some potential infidelity, they never would go there. Lou wasn't actually out with another woman. He was umpiring a kid's baseball game. He's the All-American boy. When in reality, when the Yankees might have been in Chicago, Lou would have found his way to Joliet to hang with some women of easy virtue.
Starting to find out what Terry used to always mean when he'd say, yeah, he used to take the train to Union Station in Joliet, if you know what I mean, buddy. I'm like, I don't know what you mean, buddy. I have no idea what you mean. Can you explain that a little? Oh, buddy, if you know what I mean, he's at the Union Station in Joliet. Okay, Terry, I don't know what you mean.
Getting some good suggestions here. Keep them coming. We'll try to get some of these best ones out there a little bit.
Right,
Samuel Jackson and Danny Glover's role from Angels in the Outfield. I love Danny Glover, though. He was pretty damn good. He was a fiery manager. I loved him in Angels in the Outfield. You a fan of that film?
Angels in the Outfield, not so much.
No?
There were a couple other, I guess, kids' baseball movies at that time that I'd take long before I'd take Angels
okay.
in the Outfield.
I would think that would be a movie in your wheelhouses
no.
over there. No? Not necessarily?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
No.
It's just not very logical.
Okay. Were you guys too old for it when it came out? I wouldn't
no,
think
there's
so.
There's quite the age difference between Tanny and I. I just like...
It's not that considerable.
Oh, it's pretty considerable. I just like... I like movies that should be real. I don't really picture angels and like real angels coming down
yeah.
in an outfield.
I like realism, too. That's why I like Rookie of the Year when a little boy can pitch for the Cubs. That's realistic.
And I like Field of Dreams.
Because of the ghosts.
You like the ghosts? Frank Whaley had a piece of Field of Dreams, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, that Frank Whaley in a baseball uniform doesn't work. There is, you know, not that every baseball player is sculpted, but
sure.
Frank Whaley's got a mushy, for a thin guy, he's got no muscle tone. I don't buy Frank Whaley as a major league ball player.
You want to take some texts on this, take some calls on this?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
liking this.
All right, yeah, we will read some of your text messages.
And here's one of the things, though. You got to think about the era in which the movie was made. I mean, you're not going to recast Will Ferrell for a movie 40 years ago as a guy who's been in big league baseball. You got to think about when the film was made and use an actor or actress from that time that would have made it. That's what will make it work.
That's what will make it work.
I think
we'll
so.
We'll take your text, 67011. That's the text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online, rosenhyundai.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Wildcats as they return to Wrigley Field on November 7th. They're going to host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now, nusports.com. Recasting baseball movies next on The Score.
Field of Dreams was corny and required a massive suspension of disbelief, but it worked because in the end it was about baseball and about fathers and sons. When my wife and I went to see it, she leaned over to me near the end and said, "If you cry at the end of this, I'll divorce you." Any man who doesn't cry at "Dad, want to have a catch?" just doesn't get baseball or life. For the record, it took a while, but she did divorce me. I'm John Feinstein.
Hope she got 60%.
Would have divorced him the second I heard his first sports minute. Opening bell brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. Get a full service oil change for $18.99 at CarX Tire and Auto. Nick Shepkowski in for Danny Parkins today. He's Danny Mack. He's always here on this afternoon get together from 2 to 6 on the Score.
Always, always, and forever. There you go. Shep, I am getting quite a kick out of our listeners who are texting us suggestions, if you're just joining us, to recast one character from a baseball movie and make that baseball movie even better. I think the character I've seen most, the people who want to replace the most, is the guy who played Roger Dorn, the third baseman for the Indians in Major League. Gary Busey as Roger Dorn has got to be one of my favorites I've seen so far, but there have been a few other guys suggested as Roger Dorn, including Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer
was a bag at that time, yeah.
Was a bag at the time.
He was. He would have played the role well.
Yeah, good baseball face.
Yeah, good baseball face. He got the spiky hair from Top Gun just a couple of years previous to that. Val Kilmer would have been a good Roger Dorn.
I know Tanny.
Your contract.
Tanny has seen the very dark baseball film, The Fan.
The perfect movie. Let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got a suggestion you might warm up to. Now you won't because it's De Niro's role. Somebody suggested.
Oh, God, what are you doing?
What are you doing? I know. He's perfect as a knife salesman, right? And how he got that umpire's gear and down onto the. Have you seen The Fan?
Oh, yeah, I've seen The Fan.
Business with you.
Big time. Big time.
I've been trying to rent it. It's never up. I can never find it. I've been trying to find it.
Go out to Blockbuster. You'll find it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Suncoast Video.
They still have Blockbusters?
Family Video. I've seen some Family Videos. I haven't seen a Blockbuster.
Yeah, that's what you got to get with the digital age. I own The Fan on streaming. So
it's coming. Okay. It's coming.
I believe you now because you saw The Irishman, so I believe you. So
yeah, because someone loaned me a DVD.
Oh, that's right.
Steve Buscemi as Robert De Niro in The Fan.
All right. I'm a big Buscemi guy. I can't pick her with that.
Would you have any interest in recasting?
In The Fan, can I recast someone?
Yes.
Who's the ball player that gets murdered?
That's Benicio Del Toro. Juan Primo is
Spoiler alert, yes.
Okay, yeah, I know, right. God, 24 years later, I gotta be careful
Shep,
on those
he
things.
Didn't get killed. He got murdered in the team's locker room
in a sauna. Yeah.
Right. So I'd just like Ben Stiller to be nominated for that role. I would be okay with that. Stiller, just that seems like a perfect role for you, and that would make the movie satisfying for me.
I thought you were going to say Helen Hunt.
More to come on her later.
Ben Stiller as Juan Primo?
Yes, just that because I would like to see him meet his end that way an actor.
We can have him meet his end, but Juan Primo was the big free agent. Who was the big free agent? Fine. That was Wesley Snipes.
Primo was like the fan favorite that was already there.
Well, he had number his 13.
Number 11.
Yeah, he
once
had his number.
Chico. Once.
Right. I would just like to see that happen to Ben Stiller, so I'd be okay with him playing a role where he gets his there.
Man,
what other ones the texters have?
Let me grab my phone here. I brought it.
You wrote down some of the better ones?
Like 200 or so of them. I'm a big fan of the. I mentioned that Lou Brown, you don't want to mess with Lou Brown in Major League, but one guy suggested one of my favorite that guys, Bruce McGill, as Lou Brown. He would have done that very, very well, but I'm going to stick with the late actor who played Lou Brown.
You brought up Angels in the Outfield earlier. I wasn't a big fan of that one. One of my favorites from that time, though, was Little Big League, and just because of the way the movie went and he happened to be my favorite player at the time, I hated him being the enemy in the movie. I would rather have been Barry Bonds being the rival that knocks the team out of the postseason than it be Ken Griffey Jr. because I was very torn as an 8-year-old watching that movie. So that's one that I would change too.
Mm-hmm. You think Ken Griffey Jr. would fall for that hidden ball trick?
Apparently, Ken Griffey Jr., great at many things. Awareness level at first base, not so hot.
Also, the original Astros, the twins in that movie with the cheating involving the
Usher. Oh, yeah, the
sign.
And yeah, exactly.
Some of you guys, I hate to get rough on people because they're not professional radio people. Well, we asked you to participate in a bit. Stick with the assignment, okay? Mila Kunis could not have been in Bull Durham in any role that you would have wanted her to be as you know her today. Come on. I said that.
Here's 2-year-old Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
She's a pretty girl. Yeah.
Right.
Come on, so, guys.
Brian in Springfield, I'm told, we're supposed to take this call.
Okay, let's
legit
do it.
Good. Brian, you're up on the score. What are you changing?
Welcome in, boys. Thank you.
Major well, thank
League
you.
2. Give me Mickey Rourke as Jack Tarkman.
See, I didn't see Major League 2, but you whetted my appetite by mentioning one of my favorite actors, Mickey Rourke. I absolutely love him. I didn't see Major League 2, though. Tell us, and I think a lot of other people might have missed it as well.
Major League 2 wasn't that bad.
You know,
it wasn't
near so bad.
Tanny, help me out here.
Yeah,
Jack Parkman.
So Jack Parkman is the big, Sox legend Jack Parkman. Jack Parkman is played by David Keith. In Major League 2, he's on the Indians to start the movie. Then they trade him to the White Sox. Love that as a kid.
As we all know.
And he has the little shimmy. It makes all the women in Cleveland puke, as Bob Uecker tells us. But very, like, the good-looking, mega star pro athlete, arrogant. I thought it was pretty good, but Mickey Rourke would be a good call, too.
Okay. All right. I'm a David Keith guy. It's hard to mess with that.
If they ever make a movie about Rod Beck's life, then David Keith needs to play that because that's who he reminded me of as Jack Parkman. See, okay. I think Major League 2 gets a terrible rap because
right.
it was Wesley Snipes wasn't in it. A key difference, I get it. But it still was a solid enough like movie. Like, if you're looking for a sequel to a sports movie,
okay, I'll give it a try.
You did okay.
I've seen Major League recently.
Don't watch Major League 3 Return of the Miners or whatever it was.
I'm going to give Major League 2 a chance over the weekend. I'm going to give it a watch. And I'm also going to try and find a way to get a copy of The Fan. And I think my favorite text since we've been taking these for the last 15 minutes or so is the guy who says, "Don't touch The Fan."
My guy.
It's a perfect film as it is. What a piece of garbage.
Yeah, that's one of the all-time...
That is just an awful
movie. Forget sports movies. That's just on the list of all-time awful movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just...
It is.
Mount Rushmore of that. You can throw The Fan up there. And maybe it's not George Washington, but it might be Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm not changing Kevin Costner in Bull Durham with any... I think Kevin Costner actually... looks like he can hit a baseball in the movie, too. He doesn't look the fool when he's standing in the batting cage. If it's him hitting, and I assume in 1988 or 89, it was, he looked very comfortable in that role. I didn't think it was a stretch at all. He looked much more natural at it than John C. Reilly did in For the Love of the Game.
Yeah.
I think that was his baseball role as the catcher. Was he that Tigers catcher?
Yeah, he was the battery mate of Kevin Costner in that movie. And when he hit the single or he hits the double and scores the run, like that's him watching him run. No professional athlete has ever looked like that running basis, not even close. In Field of Dreams, I don't have a good replacement for Ray Liotta other than could it at least have been someone that was left-handed like Joe Jackson was? Like, is that too much to ask?
Oh, boy.
Karen, that's the only glove I had.
And maybe someone that's not from the Bronx. I don't know.
I'm still going to go out and play anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with Field of Dreams. Like, the voice, you know, if that comes from the cornfield, like, ease his pain. It was terribly miscast. I think it should have been Gilbert Gottfried.
Ease his pain.
I've seen Field of Dreams once, and it was a stretch for me. It was really difficult to get through the end of it. I was with an 11-year-old boy, my son Van, at the time, and he was enjoying it. So I put on the happy face and feigned interest until they rolled credits. Oh boy!
I mean, I
have an issue with time travel.
Cheesy,
yes.
I didn't mind it. Was it like all-time sports movie to me? No, it's not. But I don't have the problem with it that you and countless others seem to have with the
Yeah, there's
the
not
film.
Much middle ground on that one. You either love that or you think it should be burned.
I mean, the vitriol we have for the guy who's trying to like save him from having his family become bankrupt. Like, we hate this guy. He's a terrible guy, Timothy Busfield.
Yeah, Timothy Busfield
is a bad guy because
he's a crap.
He is a bad guy because he throws the young daughter off the bleachers and then she chokes on the hot dog and it ruins Moonlight Graham's career.
That's true.
He was completely miscast too. He would have much been better played by David Caruso from CSI.
It is an impressive jump for him though, because you figure 5 years after Field of Dreams, then he's playing third base for the Twins in Little Big League. As Lou Collins.
Did you guys see the John Goodman as Babe Ruth?
When I was a kid.
Was that good? Was that well cast? Because a few people have commented that that could use a different face, but they don't have suggestions.
Yeah, it's nothing memorable about that movie. I go back or rewatch maybe, you know, but John Goodman, I'm a fan. What are you going to do?
I kind of am too, and physically I think that's about as close as you're going to get, right?
Yeah, well, this is peak fat John Goodman. He slimmed down in recent vintage, but I think even as a baseball player then, it was a bit of a stretch. Probably.
I think it's...
Personality-wise, he had the big personality.
I think it fits into what you were saying about Pride of the Yankees, in that it doesn't tell half the tale of Babe Ruth.
Well, right. They didn't do that. Right. Writers in that era were conduits to the public relations office. All they wrote was what teams wanted them to. Ruth missed a percentage of a season because he drank and ate such crappy food. He got himself sick. He wound up hospitalized for. No one ever reports on that. He just, his lifestyle made him sick. He missed a chunk of a year because of that. That didn't make any of the Babe Ruth movies.
Jim Gray was in the Babe Ruth movie. He was really good.
We're watching Babe Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
The Bears have made some changes. We are going to share that with you in just a little bit here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.